Welcome to Ask a Celebrant, a conversational podcast answering your questions relating to all the commemoration and celebrations of all the chapters of your life. I'm Bernie B, Full Life Celebrant.
And I'm Dinah Liversidge. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 7 of Ask a Celebrant with me, Dinah Liversidge, the Grateful Celebrant, and...
And me, Bernie Benton, the Full Life Celebrant. I've had a name change.
You have, Bernie, and it's lovely. It's, as always, a complete joy to be with you. And I love that we don't script these conversations. We both have a real love of what we do as independent celebrants. And getting together regularly to talk about that has been one of the bonuses of this career for me. So thank you, my friend.
Likewise.
So today we were going to take this in a new direction. We were going to talk a bit about law reform or possible law reform. Oh, serious stuff. So many people who follow anything to do with the wedding industry or perhaps who've been planning getting married will have noticed somewhere in the media in the last 6 months or even last 12 months that a lot of us have been talking about a wedding reform white paper. Mm. And that paper from the Law Commission is due to go before Parliament on the 19th of July. So what's that, 7 days from the day recording. So you and I have been talking about this a lot. And of course, that's the stage where we as a kind of public have a responsibility now to make sure that while MPs are looking through this white paper and making decisions and having conversations about whether or not to change the law, that they're doing it based on fact rather than an interpretation or perhaps an outdated view of what celebrants are. And I think there's also a risk that we're all being labeled with one word, celebrant. But we know there are lots of different types of celebrant. We're very proud, I think, is a good word. We're very proud to be independent celebrants because it's so inclusive. It is, I think we both feel, the best way of making sure as many people as possible feel represented. But there are concerns that perhaps our MPs don't know.
Yes, there are.
So I think it's important today that you and I have a bit of a conversation about this. But that also we ask people who listen to take this conversation out perhaps to their MPs and say, do you know? Do you know the differences? Do you understand? Bernie, I know you're on our committee of our trade association, the Association of Independent Celebrants. And you, of course, have all been talking about this.
We've been talking about it a lot. And suddenly I find myself, well, not suddenly, I'm on the subcommittee of the committee that is talking, you know, at length about this law reform white paper and how we can make sure that we as trade association members, so all the association members, go out and make sure that our MPs in our areas know the difference between the different types of celebrants that are available. Because if not, we're in danger of, if it is adopted into law, which it is likely that it will be, probably in 12 months' time, because there is a review process, there's an initial response process, which takes about 6 months, and then there's a final response and tweaking process, which takes another 6 months, but then it will get adopted into law. And if one group of celebrants is missed out, then couples will, there will be a group of couples who will not be given fair representation. And there's a movement out there, it's worth people going to have a look at, because it's quite interesting, it's fun to get involved in. It's called the Give Couples Choice Movement. And I recommend stick it into your Google search or whoever, whatever search engine you use, and have a look, because it's quite interesting. And they've been very proactive on this as well. I mean, the white paper says, and I'll do it as a quote so I get the wording exactly correct. It provides a framework that could allow non-religious belief organisations such as humanists and or independent celebrants to conduct legally binding weddings should the government decide to enable either or both to do so. And there is our concern.
Yes.
And or is that or and the either?
I think I don't know if you've encountered this, Bernie, but several times over the past few years, I've had conversations with potential clients actually who have assumed that because I am not a minister of faith and I am a celebrant, therefore I must be a humanist. And that's absolutely not the case.
No.
I have this incredibly mixed culture in my background. You know, I'm adopted from a family from the Middle East and also from Scandinavia, with Judaism somewhere in there. I'm married to a man who came from a family where part of their faith was Christianity, and part of it was very much that we believe, you know, your faith is like voting. We're not going to tell you who to vote for, so we're not going to tell you who to believe in. So he had this beautiful liberal approach to it. And we raised our child on the understanding of here's your heritage and you can make a choice. So no, I'm absolutely not a humanist. I'm somebody who respects that we all have the right to have a very mixed view about faith.
Yeah.
And that should be reflected in our ceremonies.
In fact, on your tagline, I think, on your website says mixed faith, multi-faith and non-religious.
Yes.
Which is wonderful, because these days you don't always have two people of the same religion marrying in their church. There might be two very different religions, or two people who are spiritual and have pick a mix.
Absolutely.
Of religion.
And also respect to Gran, you know, Gran or great aunt Flo. Don't practice faith, but she mattered deeply to us, and for her we would like a hymn. And certain celebrants would have to say no, I can't include that.
Absolutely.
And for me, that puts us right back where we are now, which is that we would have couples who didn't feel they could have a significant ceremony that felt authentic.
Yeah.
When our ceremonies are authentic and represent what we stand for, they matter more to us.
Well, absolutely correct. You know,
I mean, it should matter. You know,
I mean, that you can have your religious ceremony in your church of your choice. I mean, I, like you, my family are from a Middle Eastern background. We are, both my parents were Jewish heritage, but my father is a strong atheist now. My mother is an agnostic. My husband is an atheist. His family are Methodist. So should we? I mean, we've been together 28 years. We talk about it often because I had my ceremony recently for vow renewals, but we're not married. But if we were, we would probably not want to have a religious ceremony, but we might want to touch something because John's parents are passed. We might want to put something from their faith that mattered to them in that service to represent them.
Yes.
And as independent celebrants, we can do that.
Yes.
Whereas, and I won't keep mentioning it, but you know, the whole point of a humanist celebrant is that they want the humanist society, I believe. I can be corrected if I'm incorrect, but they are seeking parity with the religions. So they want to be seen as the atheist solution, the non-religious solution. So if you want to have an atheist ceremony, but dabble in a bit of spiritual and this, that and the other, you can't have that if you have a humanist ceremony. And that might be fine for lots of people, and that's wonderful and that's great, but there is a difference. And it's very important that our MPs know that there is a difference and recognise both groups of celebrants as equally important. And
absolutely.
If they're going to include one in the reform, they include the other, because we need to have the parity and the give couples the choice, the full choice. Otherwise, we've just kind of moved one step up the ladder and we haven't really got to the top and gone, yes, here we are. Here is our whole wonderful, diverse, eclectic humanity. And we're going to celebrate all of them in any way they want. And they can celebrate their love in any way that they
absolutely
wish.
And I think, you know, in a society where you hear more and more people talking about things like we've got a great diversity policy, or it's so important that we stop with the lines people want us to say to grow our business and actually start really believing in this stuff.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm always filled with despair at is at the end of Pride Month, when all the people who jumped on the bandwagon suddenly take down their flags, suddenly stop actually bothering to care anymore about issues that impact people on a daily basis. You know, being an ally means every single day, in every single conversation, not for 1 month of the year. And this has to be the same. We can't say as a nation, which we regularly do, we believe in marriage. We think it's a great way to bring people together, to give stability, to provide something that feels secure and nurturing. We believe in that, but only if it fits our terms.
Yeah.
You can't do that in this society. It's not okay. No. So if we're going to reform, and I'm delighted that we are, then let's do it properly.
Let's do it properly and completely. And I know that that is the intention of the white paper. I know that that's the intention of the white paper. And I know that that is the intention of the MPs who are going to review the white paper. What I'm not sure of is that the MPs understand the difference.
So how can we make sure they do, Bernie? What are your thoughts on that?
We have been looking at lots of ways. You know, the Give Choice Couples Choice Movement, the Association of Independent Celebrants, the Celebrant Directory, we've all been working on all the other groups to try and raise the profile of independent celebrants and the law reform paper. And we are trying to encourage our members to go to the MP surgeries and talk. We've done lots of press releases, but we know that people don't read papers so much anymore. People won't read we've all written blogs about it. People don't necessarily read blogs. But what's going to, we believe, really sort of make a mark is if we can get some human interest stories. So we are reaching out to couples who have had an independent ceremony, celebrant-led ceremony,
lovely,
and asking if we can share their story as a press release, as a podcast, as a little video clip, as a reel. You know, we just want to start making some visual content that will really promote the idea of the difference or the value of an independent celebrant. But what's really important is that couples tell their independent celebrant who led their why it was so great and give us permission to use their feedback. That's
gonna
really
help. I love that. That's the key thing here, isn't it? Why it was so great. Because certainly to me, one of the blessings about being an independent celebrant is when we first meet a couple and we've agreed we're going to work together, I say to them, so if you could have absolutely anything at your wedding, what would that look like? Mm-hmm. And they tell you. And then you say, why? Mm-hmm. You start to discover this beautiful backstory and why this matters so much to this couple. Mm-hmm. Well, we want to do that because that's what's been done for 10 generations, or we'd like to do that because my mum's going to be able to be there and she's been unable to leave the house for 10 years, which is what I had with a couple recently.
How wonderful.
Unbelievable stories come out. Mm. And what they're really saying is, if we could do it this way, this for us would be a dream come true.
Yes.
And as an independent celebrant, we get to say, well, then let's do it that way.
Absolutely. Do it exactly how you want. I mean, the whole point, I think, that of our role and the whole joy of being in the role for us is that we facilitate we enable people to have the confidence to do the things they want exactly the way they want it. And they might think, oh, I can't have that because I'm having that. And when we start having a conversation with us and we're, yeah, of course you can have that Jewish prayer and that Buddhist singing bowl and we can dance around a maypole and we can do this.
Absolutely.
And we can bring in all of your different aspects of your family's tradition, bring them all in. We can create and tweak it. It's like, do you know, you've probably done it with your family. You have traditions at your Christmas that have, you've always done as your family. Then you marry someone and they have their traditions as well. Yes. And you combine those two traditions, yes, and you add a little bit of, it's like seasoning.
Gorgeous.
Mix it up a bit, and you create a new tradition for your family that kind of has touches on and remembers those old traditions. Perfect. And you just bring it together. And that's kind of what we do. We kind of take all of the lovely feelies from that side and all of the lovely feelies from that side, and we throw them in the middle and we make the best cake.
Perfect. It is absolutely that.
Yeah.
And I love that we can say when a couple says to us, I don't know if something exists to do this, yeah, we can say, well, it does now.
Yeah.
Let's make it.
No, I love it when a couple says to me, you know, what we really want to do is something that will, and I will include this, or maybe I quite like that ritual, but, and I'll go, well, okay, well, let's create our own ritual. Let's do something. Let's take that aspect of that bit, that aspect of that, because what we're doing, what ritual is about, is creating something symbolic to visually,
yes,
demonstrate the joining. You know, hand passing is a visual representation of tying two families together.
You know? Yes. One of the things you and I have talked about before is how we all, as independent celebrants, are very aware of cultural appropriation,
yes,
and misappropriation. Okay. Hmm. However, there is an opportunity when we as independents meet people for whom heritage includes certain cultural traditions, mm-hmm, to be able to say to that person, yes, you may include that in your marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you would not be able to do without an independent celebrant. Mm. It would have to be something you went off and did that wasn't recognised as official, mm, or that felt like you had to sneak around to do. And that's not what this should be.
No. You know,
if we want to honour the memories of our grandparents or our ancestors, yeah, we should be allowed to do that as part of our legally binding togetherness.
Yeah, and that's all we're asking for, isn't it? Because at the moment, just to clarify for people who don't know, as independent celebrants, we can do all of that. But it's in the same way as when you register anything else, you have to go to the registrar and register it first. So you would have to, as a couple, go to the registrar, register your marriage, and then have the ceremony of your dreams with your independent celebrant afterwards. And all we're asking is to be able to do that little bit as well, which is very important little bit, the legal bit and the paperwork. And we're all quite happy to go on the training to do that and do
absolutely
that as well.
Yes.
But what we want to do is be able to give our couples the opportunity to get married anywhere, any time of day or night, any day, and with whatever rituals and visuals and audio and you know, and people that they want at that ceremony, and it'd be legal for them at the end of it. And it would just, yes, be, I mean, it's magical and it's wonderful that the Law Commission have spent all of this time putting this paper together and taken on the guidance and advice and information from so many of us, including the AOIC. And it's wonderful that now the MPs are going to review it. But it is very, very important that we as independent celebrants and you out there as couples make sure that your representatives know the difference between all, and so that we are included as well. Otherwise, you might find that when it gets to the point where you want, sorry, I've drunk Coca-Cola and I've got a little bit of a...
Oh, always dangerous.
We want them to make sure that when they agree to write it into law, they include all the different types of celebrants. So it's about making it clear. So I am asking you, as couples out there, or individuals who at some point will be a couple who will want a ceremony, who is visualizing that to talk to people about it, and talk to, if you know anybody, tell your story of your love and your relationship and your traditions and how you would like to incorporate them into celebrations of your love. And that is how we're going to get this message across, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, it is quite simple here for me. This is about equality, mm-hmm. something that many, many groups would, any kind of equality for them would be the most enormous milestone. Mm-hmm. And what we're asking for as celebrants is equality for our couples in marriage.
Yes.
So that they, whatever their beliefs, whether those are humanist, religious, mixed faith, no faith, a faith that none of us is aware of,
yeah.
whatever they are, we want to be able to honour them in a way that doesn't say, well, everybody except you.
Mm.
I think we've had enough of except you.
I absolutely agree. I mean, we are trying all the time. We're moving always in the right direction. We tweak something and it includes a few more people. But what we want to do, let's do it in one step. Let's include everybody. This yes. has taken a really long time. I mean, wedding reform has not happened for centuries. I mean, we still have the same requirements now as we've had. Gosh, I don't know the name, but it's been a very, very long time that we have not reviewed this. So whilst we're doing it, and as we've put so much time and energy and probably money into trying to get this done, let's get it right the first time.
Yeah,
let's get it right. Let's include everybody. Let's give all couples choice.
Perfect.
That's what we want to do.
Okay, hon. Well, that was a beautiful soapbox that we shared. I think in our post with this one, we need to give people some guidance. So
yeah,
I'm going to commit while we're still recording that Bernie and I are going to talk between recording this and posting this on, making it live for all of you, that we will look at, and I know the AOIC have done this for members yeah. already.
Yeah,
we will look at a letter
yeah.
that you can share with your MPs to make this really easy for you.
Yeah.
We'll put it somewhere that you can download it, personalize it, and send it to your MP just to say, hey, come on, let's get this right. Let's make sure it is all celebrants and that you understand the difference.
Yes, that's we have those letters already as the AOIC. Brilliant. I think they also have letters through the Give Couples Choice Movement website as well.
But and we'll share a link to that too.
We will add all the links to the bottom, and whenever we're posting our blogs that link up with this podcast, we can do that. But if as a couple you're hearing this and thinking, yeah, I had the greatest celebrant-led wedding and I am happy to share my story, pop us a line. We'll do the work. We'll talk to you. We'll and everything. We'll do the work. We'll write the story and we'll blog, or we'll do some video with you, and we'll get your story shared, and hopefully just keep raising the awareness.
Brilliant.
It's a wonderful time. It's a wonderful, very exciting year to come for people who are getting married, because we are going to have so much more choice in the future, and that is a wonderful thing.
Yes, I really look forward to it, and hugely grateful to everybody in the association and all the organisations who've been involved, and of course to the MPs for taking the time to do this.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of them have, you know, a lot of them are beginning to get it now, and a lot of them are still surprised, which is, you know, where we're going. But they're good, you know, they've got a lot going on, haven't they?
They certainly have. So it'd be nice for them to talk about something as gorgeous.
Yeah, it'll be a nice distraction for them. So yeah.
Thank you for joining us, everybody. I hope you enjoy these conversations as much as we do. We look forward very much to putting this live and sharing it with you. And don't hesitate to contact Bernie or myself if you want to know more about the reform, or, of course, about how you could have an independent celebrant create a beautiful ceremony for you. We'll see you all next time.
Yeah, bye now.
Ask a Celebrant is unscripted, and we base it on the questions we receive from our clients and you, our listeners. We'd love to hear from you. do join the conversation.
See you next month.